want to certainly say good morning. It is certainly good to be in the house of the Lord this morning, and certainly thankful to see each and every one that's come out to be with us this morning. And I'm certainly looking forward to seeing what the Lord has in store for the service this morning. Thankful for the good song selection and for Sister Amy playing the piano for us this morning. And I know that's a task, that's a tough task, but I'm thankful that she was willing to step in that. You know, we read in Ezekiel where God told Ezekiel, he said that he needed to go to Jerusalem and that he needed to find somebody who would be willing to stand in the gap. And this morning, I know we're low in number, but we need people to stand in the gap. However it may be, whatever the job is, you need to stand in the gap, you know. And so I'm thankful that Sister Amy was willing to do that this morning, and I hope that encourages others to maybe take a step of faith and to follow the Lord this morning. But I'm looking forward to seeing what the Lord has in store. I hope you had a good weekend. I know New Year's is a time where people come together and try to be with family or some part of it, and I hope you had a good time this past weekend. But I'm looking forward to seeing what God has in store for us in this upcoming year. You know, last year, I thought we had a good year last year altogether. I know with it being my first year here is probably a bumpier ride than what some would probably like for it to be, but I'm looking forward to seeing what God has in store in this coming year, and I hope and pray that we'll see many souls saved this year. I hope and pray we'll see a revival just break out among God's people this year, and a stirring and a renewal of a heart towards the work that God has called us to do. And so, be prayerful for us this morning, if it be the Lord's will. Now, we should stand for a few moments of time. God would just help us. Let us do be prayerful for those that are sick this morning and are afflicted and can be here but just aren't able to. And so let's be prayerful for them. And Brother Dale Compton, he's preaching at a church in Butlersville, Indiana this morning. And so let's be prayerful for him as he tries to make an attempt to stand. I wonder at this time if there might be any prayer requests or praises or anything upon anybody's hearts this morning. They just feel like it needs to be said or done. I would like to ask this morning before we go further, if anybody has anything on their hearts, they just feel like it needs to be said or done this morning. If not, then we're going to go into that which the Lord has placed upon our hearts. If you want to go with us, we're going to go in the 26th chapter of the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 26. As far as I know, unless the Lord changes our hearts, we'll just read verse 20. So Proverbs chapter 26 and verse 20, and our hearts and our minds have been everywhere this morning, and we ask that you would pray for us, that the Lord would just free up our hearts and minds, and that he would fill us up with his Spirit, and that his word would just go out this morning. So Proverbs 26 and 20, where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceaseth. I'm going to stop right there. And if it be the Lord will be my helper this morning, what my thought is going to be out of the beginning of that verse where Solomon said, where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. And so as I was thinking about that verse this past week, I know I've heard a lot growing up about the church and God's people and about how God's people need to be on fire for God. And I don't really know if people try to go into an explanation about that, about what it really means to be on fire for God. I know that some of us might know it, that it definitely means a closer relationship and walk with God, but I believe that there's a lot more to that that it entails. And so if you would, our minds, they'd go to Revelation, where Jesus was talking to the church at Laodicea. And he had told John to write to these churches. And he had said that in Laodicea, that he would tell them, he said, I know your works, and I know that you're not cold, and that you're not hot. He said, I wish that you was cold. I wish that you was hot. But since you are lukewarm, I have to spew you out of my mouth. And so as I was thinking about there when Jesus was writing, and just bear with us for a few moments of time, because I know our mind is going everywhere this morning, but as I was thinking about how Jesus had told that church there, you know, we read in Hebrews about how God, how he is a consuming a fire. You know, I had a preacher tell me one time when I started off preaching, he told me, he said, Brother Micah, he said, if you are ever cold or you ever feel cold, just get a little closer to the fire. You get a little closer to God. You know, I know as we start the new year and how people make up a new year's resolution about how I want to be a better person. I want to make more money. I want to spend less money. I want to lose weight. I want to do this. I want to do that this year. Brothers and sisters, I believe our desire should be that we should be closer to God than what we were previously. I think our desire should be that we would work harder for God than what we did last year, than what we did, not just that, but what we did yesterday, what we did last week, that we would have this grow and indwelling desire within us to serve God to the best of our capabilities. You know, people in this life, and like I said, I do think that it goes a little further than just a relationship with God, but just bear with us for a few moments. You know, I know that people in this life, they try to make a lot of accusations that they're just, or a mindset that they're just in it for themselves, or they do things to be better for themselves. But you see, I think this morning, folks, as we go in to this message, that we need to not only try to strive to be a better child of God for our sake, but to strive to be better for the gospel's sake. For the gospel's sake. You know, see, because here's the thing. People try to make it out to where it's about them. But at the end of the day, what does the Bible really teach? It's not about us. It never will be about us. But what is it about? It's about Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's all it is about. We even read, I believe it was in John. I believe it was in the third chapter. There when Jesus was preaching to Nicodemus, or not preaching, but was talking to Nicodemus there, you know. And of course, we all know
that Jesus told Nicodemus that unless a man be born again, he cannot see or enter into the kingdom of God. And I believe that that still holds true to today. That if a man wants to go to heaven, he's got to be born again, not of a fleshly birth, but of a birth from above, a birth of the Spirit, you say. But you know, Jesus, he goes a little farther than that. Jesus said, and he said, just like the brazen serpent that Moses lifted up in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up from among the earth. You see, I believe those numbers have taught us there that one day when the children of Israel was in the wilderness, that they were disputing and murmuring among themselves about how it was a whole lot better for them to be slaves in bondage in Egypt than it would be for them to travel in the wilderness. And of course, I've said this before, and I believe this with all my heart. I don't really think that it had to take 40 years for the children of Israel to go through that wilderness, you know. I just think they're the ones who made it last that long, you know, because of their heart, how it kept turning back on God. But you see, we read about how they were murmuring and disputing and was backbiting about God. And God, I believe, heard enough of it. And so he sent down fiery serpents from above. And whenever they were bitten, that might be where people get snake handling Baptists from. I don't know. I've always told people that if I went into a church as snake handling, I'd make them an extra door, you know. I just can't handle that. Moses there, the people went to Moses and they said, Moses, we need you to talk to God so that way these serpents would just stop, that there could be a cure. And so Moses went and he talked to God about a cure. And that cure was that he had to make a brass serpent and lift it up so that when they looked into the eyes of the serpent, they would be healed from the bite there. You see, I believe this morning that we are still in a world that is in need of soul salvation. And the only way that they can be saved, that the lost individual can be saved, is if they look to Jesus. You know, but you see, Jesus said, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. He said, I've got to be lifted up. How can they see Jesus? Oh, if we're not lifting him up, folks. How can they see him? Oh, if we're not showing him. You see, the Bible says, about there being a fire, and that where there is no wood, the fire goes out, you see. I believe that when we are saved by the grace of God, that in Ezekiel chapter 36, God told Ezekiel that he would take out, he would break the stony heart. And I believe that symbolizes a conviction that God breaks the heart of man. And he said he would break the stony heart, and he would take that stony heart out, and he would give that man a new heart and a new spirit to dwell within him. You see, I believe that when we're saved by the grace of God, that God implants a new spirit within the saved individuals. And we read how Paul, I believe he said that it was a vain man not have the Spirit in him. Paul said in Romans, a man not have the Spirit of Christ, then he is none of his. And you see, before we are saved, we're dead spiritually. You know, folks, and I believe that when we're saved, And when God plants that indwelling spirit within us, that they're also we're truly saved, and God plants that indwelling spirit within us, I believe God plants a desire to want to grow and to want to be with Him. You see, I don't understand why God would plant His Spirit within us and then after we're saved, want to turn our backs and have nothing to do with Him. You know, I believe that's part of a reason why the world should see a difference in God's people, because there is a newness of life within us.
That Spirit there that causes us to want to yearn and to be closer to God, you see.
Oh, it stirs our soul, you know. Have you ever went to a church service, folks? Have you ever went to a church service and the preacher got down, and I'm not talking about me, but you know, but you went to a church service and you were so down and out, so doom and gloom, so discouraged by Satan and the world, and all of a sudden you felt the presence of God, and the preacher might have said something led by the Spirit that might have just stirred something within you. And whenever you walked out, you started to think within yourself, "Oh, I want to be closer to Thee, oh God." Has that ever happened? You know, I believe that's a little bit of wood that God gives us to throw back in the fire for it to go, you know, for it to grow, you see. But what good is it if God throws that wood in there? And what good is it if we just leave it aside and leave it be and not do nothing with it? You see, you can have a desire. Oh, but if you're so filled with the world, folks, that's going to consume that fire. That's going to consume that desire, you know. You know, but Paul said, well, I shouldn't say Paul. I believe Paul wrote Hebrews, but the Bible never tells us plainly who wrote it. But you see, in Hebrews, the writer said in the chapter 12, he said, So we run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus. Getting rid of the sin that doth so easily beset us, that does so easily hinders us, that does so easily stands in our way, that so easily, and forgive me if you don't like this, but that's okay, I still love you. You know, in my studies, I like reading out of different translations and see what it says. In the NASB translation, it said there that to get rid of the sin that entangles us. And I like that. Okay, so get rid of the sin that entangles us. That causes us to be wrapped up. You know, Paul told Timothy, he said, a good soldier of Christ does not entangle himself with the world. He doesn't get wrapped up in it. He doesn't get caught up in it. Why? Because in the newness of life that God gave us and planted within us, you know what? You know what it's made me realize the last couple years as I've tried to be a little closer to the Lord? That this world is not my home. Not one bit. And you know what? I feel like a stranger to everybody. I'm just going to be honest with you. I feel like a stranger to everybody. I feel like nobody knows me and nobody has a desire to know me. And when they look at me, they see me differently. And that's because what God did for me as a 7-year-old boy, there is a difference in me. And folks, I'm telling you, as that song says, I really like that song. This world's not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasures, they're laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me on heaven's open door. And Lord, I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Folks, if you feel at home here, there's something wrong. Just be honest with you. There's something wrong. Because all that's in there. The Bible says in 1 John that all that is in the world is the lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh and the pride of life. There is nothing to do with God out there. People fall. You know, the Bible says also in 2 Corinthians that the God of this world hath blinded their minds. People really, in all honesty, have nothing to do with God. Have you noticed that? Society has tried everything to blemish a God out. And folks, let me tell you, that should stir your fire within you. That should cause you to just have a desire to not stir up trouble. Well, I'll say this, to stir up trouble for Jesus. You see, because let me tell you, Acts 17, there was some trouble that was stirred up in Thessalonica, but it wasn't for the wrong reason. It was because people wanted to, because Paul and Jason wanted to tell the Thessalonians about a man named Jesus who hung himself on a tree, who died, and yet rose again the third day for our justification, for our spiritual liberty, if you'll let me use that phrase. You see, in Amos there, I know I'm going everywhere, just bear with me. In Amos there, in chapter 8 and verse 11, God was telling Amos about how he was going to send a famine in the land. A famine, not of water nor of bread, but a famine for the word of God. You see, I don't know if I mentioned this last Sunday. I probably did. But you know, I think it's evident that there is a famine in our land. I think there's evidence that there is a famine, you know. But you see, also when it comes to famine, there's also people who are interested in wanting to know something. Are wanting to be filled up with something. But folks, are those lost individuals getting filled up with the right bread? Oh, you see, there are so many people out there who have these counterfeit doctrines, if you'll let me say that, who have counterfeits, and they try to hand out counterfeit salvation, you see, about how you can just simply accept Christ with the mind and it'd be all right, or simply believe with the human mind and it'd be okay. But folks, or just shake a preacher's hand or do whatever. But folks, I'm telling you this morning, for those of us who know the true way of salvation, who have not only known but have experienced what God can do when He reaches down from heaven and saves a sinner's soul, who has truly and freely experienced that, we need to be stirred up in our hearts to tell people about the bread of life. You see, Jesus, in the 8th chapter of John there, He told, I believe it was the Pharisees, He had told them, He said, He was giving them the history lesson about Israel wandering 40 years in the wilderness, and He said, and your fathers, they hungered, and so God sent manna from down from heaven. You know what they ate? They ate angel bread, you know. He said, it rained manna from heaven. And He said, and they ate it. And He said, I'm telling you, you can eat of that manna, but you can still be hungry. But He said, if you eat of the bread that I give you, oh, then you'll be full. But you see, you know, and He said the same thing with the water there with the woman at the well in the 4th chapter of John, that if any man drinks of that water, that they'll be thirsty again. But if they drink the water that Jesus gives, then they won't ever thirst. Now, I will say this, though. I've not thirsted after salvation ever again. I've not hungered after salvation ever again, ever since God saved my soul. But I do believe, according to the 5th chapter of Matthew, of the Sermon on the Mount, that there might not be a thirst for salvation, but there should be a thirst for a closeness to God. What is it Jesus said? Blessed are those who thirst after righteousness' sake and yet are filled. Folks, we need a thirst after righteousness this morning. We need a thirst after Jesus. You know, our fire. You know, there's a song that says the fire has never gone out. I'll agree. We can't lose salvation. Our fire hasn't gone out. Oh, but Satan tries many times to flicker it, don't he? And it has flickered, hasn't it? And I don't know how small your flame has flickered this morning. Oh, but I'm telling you, if you talk to Jesus, if you get closer to Him, if you read His Word and allow Him to put the wood in there, folks, you can have that flame to just blow up, you see. Oh, folks, how big is your flame this morning? You know, see, I was thinking last night about the 11th chapter of Acts, that Barnabas, he was sent to the church at Antioch there. The church at Antioch, they had been discouraged. And if I'm not wrong, I believe they were also persecuted there at Antioch. And so Paul and the other brethren, they sent Barnabas there to comfort the people. And Barnabas did. And you know, Barnabas told the church, he said, with all the singleness of your heart, the singleness of it, meaning that there shouldn't be another desire in your heart except for what? To cleave unto the Lord. To cleave to Him. To hold on to Him. I believe the right definition for cleave would be like glue. To be stuck to Him with all singleness of your heart. To just hold on to Jesus. Folks, I'm telling you, I know how bad our society is getting. I know how bad it seems that sin is overcoming. Oh, but with singleness of our hearts, let's hold on to God. Let's hold on to Him. And you know what happened after that? After Barnabas encouraged them, after Barnabas went there, you know, the church got encouraged enough that they would start going out to Antioch themselves and to start spreading the gospel even more. And you know what happened there? I believe that it was also within that chapter that the Bible says that they were first called Christians at Antioch. First time that we ever see that term, Christian. And let me tell you this, folks. It says they were called Christian. They're called. They didn't just self-declare themselves as Christians. And I want us to understand that, and that's probably going to hurt some feelings this morning. But they didn't just self-declare themselves as Christians. They were called Christians. And that term Christian wasn't even supposed to be a good thing. It was a slander name. But you know what? It symbolized. You know what told me, Brother Danny? That they acted Christ-like. You know what it told me? That they probably talked and walked like Christ did on this earth. They were called Christians first at Antioch. You know, that terminology that the world uses today. Man, let me tell you, it hurts my heart. Because the world, they just don't see it the way that I do, I guess. But you know, people just throw that around loosely, you know. We can call ourselves Christian. Once again, we can self-proclaim to be Christian. Oh, but if we go out in the world, you know, if we go to a bar and get drunker than a skunk, and we still go to church, and somehow that makes us Christian. Folks, I'm telling you this morning, in order to truly be a Christian, it needs to be following in Christ's footsteps. That's just in all honesty. You know, we're living in a time, an age, where there's so much of self-proclaimed Christians. But let me tell you, instead, the world, that word proclaim, I know we use that term a lot, but that word proclaim, it means to declare, to tell. People try to declare themselves as Christians. But you know what? The world and the people are in it need to declare that there are Christians among them. They need to declare that there is a group of people who are trying their hardest to follow in the steps and the teachings that Christ himself taught on this earth. Now let me tell you this. Once again, a lot of y'all probably won't get mad when I say this. I'm thankful that I grew up in a Baptist church. And not only a Baptist church, but an old-time Baptist church. And I heard the sound doctrine. Oh, but let me tell you this. I've heard so many people say, well, we need to teach Baptist doctrine. We need to teach Baptist doctrine. For some reason, that shakes my spirit up. You know, I do believe that years ago, Baptists as a whole used to believe the same thing, but we're living in an age where they don't. But you know what? And what I'm trying to tell you is this. We don't need to teach Baptist doctrine. We need to teach Bible doctrine. We don't need to teach what the Baptist said and did, but we need to teach what Christ said and did, folks. I'm afraid we get too hung up on that sign that's on our door. Folks, oh, if anything that we say and teach isn't backed up by the Word of God, then shame on us, and we need to repent of it. You see, you know, well, as I started thinking about this, and my thoughts, they're starting to slowly leave my heart. I guess the Lord's almost done with me. I guess I caused a lot of trouble this morning. But you know, I was thinking there about that fire. You see, Paul, he is writing to the church at Philippi. You know, and I said a little bit there in Hebrews about Paul talking, well, I need to stop saying that, but about the writer talking about the race that needs to be run. You see, folks, the race that, and I know that we all probably know this, but the race that he was talking about was the race of life, the race of our lives. And you know, as I was thinking about that this morning, I know in our lives we all go through different struggles. We're all different in very many ways. Let me tell you this, God deals with all of us differently because of that, but also Satan attacks us all differently because of that. But let me tell you this morning, you know, I don't know your life and you don't fully know mine. And I know that there's all skeletons in our closet that we wouldn't want to open up to anybody. But you see, Paul, as he was getting there to the church at Philippi, and he was talking about the race that needed to be run. He said, you know, Paul, now, let's get this straight, okay? Paul was a murderer of the church that Jesus had set up in its early days, correct? You see, Paul there, he wasn't just a man that was full of knowledge, but he even had permission from the high councils himself to kill the church, you see, and he did. He did. And of course, Paul got saved. Paul got saved. Well, Saul got saved on the road to Damascus, and then God changed his name to Paul after that. But you know, Paul, whenever he started, after God called him to preach, and he was starting to go around to these different houses and try to preach, Paul got a lot of backlash. Why? Because all the church remembered of what he was nothing but a murderer. He got a lot of backlash for who he was before God saved him. And you know what, folks? You know what Paul said here in Philippi, in Church of Philippi? He said, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. And I understand and know that, you know, as we, even when we're saved by the grace of God, we still do things that we are not proud of. And I understand that. But you see, if you have truly repented of your sin, folks, forget those things that are behind you. Hey, but forget those things that are behind you. No matter what somebody else might say, or no matter what Satan might come and do, forget those things that are behind and press on forward and reach for those things that are forward and reach on and march on for the mark of the high calling of God. I mean, just be honest. I mean, we're all humans. We're all sinful by nature. And we have all done things that we're not absolutely proud of. Oh, but we need to forget those things that are behind and reach for those things that are ahead. You know, Nehemiah, I'll get to this and I'll be done as my thoughts are starting to slowly leave me. But Nehemiah, I ran past by this verse this past week and I just feel like in my heart it needs to be shared. But if you read there in Nehemiah, you know, I know we've gone everywhere and talking about, trying to talk about the fire. I don't know if I even talked about it much, but that's okay. We're just going to follow God. But you see, you know, we talk about trying to stir that fire up and trying to throw some wood in there. And you know what is another source of good wood to be thrown into that fire? It is a burden, folks. It's a burden. You see, it's not just being closer to the Lord. It's not just trying to read and study, even though those are all things that help cause us to be closer to the Lord, but also carrying a burden. You know, and there's one thing that I want to challenge you all this morning. You know, Paul, I believe he said he charged the church. So if there's one thing I want to do, I want to charge you all this morning. I want to challenge you. Get a burden for somebody. Get a burden. You see, Nehemiah, they're trying to build this wall back up that in Jerusalem that was knocked down, you see.
And yeah, they had so many people. You know, I believe it was even the country across from them, the rulers of the country across from them. They even looked at the wall that they're trying to build. They said a fox could just walk up and man, it's just going to fall right down. You know, yeah, people try to make fun of God's people sometimes. They're in our work. Do you know that? But you see, here in Nehemiah in chapter 4 and verse 10, it talked about, and Judah said, the strength of the burden bearers is decayed, and there is much rubbish, so that we are not able to build the wall. Folks, we need to be burden bearers. We need to be burden bearers. I know that isn't a fun subject to talk about, and I know it's not a fun thing to carry. Oh, but if we want that fire to be stirred a little bit within our hearts, if we want to have, you know what helps me to be closer to the Lord? It's not just praying. It's not just studying. It's carrying a burden, folks, because when I carry a burden, it makes me concerned for that individual just like they were my own child. You might say that we don't have children or we got grandchildren or we've already got this and that. Folks, the people that are in this house, they are our responsibility. They are. If they're members of this church, that family's our responsibility. That we should seek after them to be saved by the grace of God. That we would carry a burden for them and a care for their soul just like they were our own family. I get this. I don't have kids, I know. But if you ask my parents, and I know many of you parents, you'll say when a child is lost, it's the scariest feeling you have. Why? Because that is a state where you're completely helpless. Because salvation, you can't give it. And you know that it's between them and God. Oh, but you know what? It brings a trouble down within our hearts because of us being in that helpless state that makes us want to petition to God for their behalf. That makes us want to call out to God for their behalf. That whatever it is that is standing in their way, that God would remove it. They said the burden bearers are decayed, so the wall is completely rubbish. It is completely impossible to build back up because nobody wants to have the responsibility of being a burden bearer. Folks, we need burden bearers. I know I've already said in our preliminary comments that Ezekiel, God told Ezekiel that he needed to look at Jerusalem and try to find a man to stand in the gap. Well, let me tell you this. There's a lot of gaps that needs to be filled. And I'm not just talking about because people are out sick and missing for one service. I'm talking about for the daily duties of the church. That there needs to be specifically burden bearers. Caring one for those who are lost and in need of salvation. And not just them, but carrying a burden for the work of the Lord Jesus. So church,
I charge you to try to put some wood in that fire of yours. By prayer, by study, by trying to walk with Jesus, by trying to be with Him, by trying to stick to Him, by trying to not be a self-proclaimed Christian, but yet trying to strive so that other individuals can see that we are Christians. I know I said this before. Of course, you know, I probably just got done saying this, but I'll say it again because I want to say this. And I know I said that I like carrying burdens because it causes me to be in communication with God. And I've said this before too at this church, but you know what the motto for us needs to be? Needs to be push. Pray until something happens. That needs to be our motto. Because without God, we cannot accomplish anything. Without getting ourselves and our will and our desires out of the way, nothing will happen. So yet, once again, let's push, folks. Let's pray. Let's go. Let's ask God. Let's petition to Him until something happens. I'm done. I hope and pray something happens. I hope and pray that you got something out of this. I pray above all Jesus was lifted up. I hope He was. I really do. I tried my very best to. But what I do hope is that maybe your fire got kindled a little bit. I really do. But it's only going to be by the aid of the Holy Spirit, folks. Brother Danny, if you don't mind, get a song. And let us just stand and sing and ponder the things that was said this morning.